Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
With the dawn of radio and of television, we have the ability to receive information about events from all over the world. We can receive that information any time of day or any time of night. But sometimes as we're watching and as we're listening and as we are absorbing this information which is being presented to us, from out of nowhere, a newscaster comes on the air and he interrupts the regularly scheduled programming to bring us an important announcement. A single item of news that is so important that it cannot even wait for another moment. And so this announcement is given to us because it just might affect our lives, might influence us, even change the course of our lives or change the course of this world. And this interruption is sometimes called a newsflash. And as we have been looking at Luke chapter 1, we have seen how the Lord has interrupted the life of a Jewish priest named Zacharias. And he has brought him a monumental newsflash. So the Lord sent an angel from heaven, from his very presence, with some life-changing news. And this angel, named Gabriel, appeared to Zacharias from out of nowhere while Zacharias was ministering in the temple in Jerusalem. And he gave Zacharias this newsflash, that even though Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth were in their 80s, and even though Elizabeth had been unable to have a child, to become pregnant for her entire life, now, at this time, in their old age, she would become pregnant. And she would bear a son. And they were to call this child John. And if that was not shocking enough, this angel told Zacharias that this child would grow up to be a prophet of God, that he, in fact, would be the fulfillment of the promise of God that is found in the Old Testament, a promise of a messenger who would announce the coming of the Messiah. And John would be that messenger. He would be that voice crying out in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord. Well, that's a pretty amazing newsflash, isn't it? But now we're told in verse 26 of Luke chapter 1 that while Elizabeth was in her sixth month of her pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was once again sent from the presence of God with another newsflash, with a divine announcement of a divine event. And this time, he wasn't sent to Jerusalem. He was sent to a city in the province of Galilee, to an insignificant village with only a few hundred people, an obscure village called Nazareth, which was about 75 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And this time, Gabriel was sent to a young girl. To a girl who was perhaps maybe 12 or 13 years old. To a virgin, we're told in verse 27. Parthenos in Greek. To one who was pure. To one who had never had a physical relationship with a man. A young girl, it says, who was engaged. Minastuo in Greek, who was under a legal contract to be married to a man whose name, we're told, was Joseph. A man who was a worker in stone and in wood, a construction worker, a skilled craftsman. And we are also told that this man, Joseph, was one of the descendants of King David. So Joseph was in the royal line from which the Messiah would come. And Joseph was perhaps 14 or 15 years old at this time. And so this marriage contract would have been arranged by the parents of this young couple. And this contract was legally binding. It could only be dissolved by death or by divorce. And the engagement would have lasted about a year, and that was to determine if the young girl was faithful, if she was pure. And during that year, the young man was to prepare a place for them to live, usually in his father's house. And so Luke tells us in verse 27, simply, that this virgin's name was Mary. Other than that, we know very little about her. Except that, just like Joseph, she too could trace her ancestry through the line of King David as well. So this angel, Gabriel, left the presence of God and he descended to this earth, to this village of Nazareth, and he went into a house in that village, a house where Mary lived with her family. And when he came into the house, we're told in verse 28, he said to her, Hail, Hyro in Greek, greetings, hello, rejoice, be glad, favored one, Hare To'o in Greek, you who have been shown grace by the Lord, you who have been greatly blessed by him. Not that she had grace to give, as some incorrectly teach, but she had received grace from the Lord. The Lord had sovereignly chosen Mary, a woman who needed a Savior, just like we all need a Savior, yet he chose her to be part of his plan to bring the Savior from the glory of heaven and into this world. So this angel continues in verse 28. And he speaks to her and he says, The Lord is with you. He will enable you. He will help you to carry out his plan. Just like the angel of the Lord said to Gideon in Judges chapter 6 verse 12, that the Lord would enable him. So be strong, be confident in him and in his might. Though I think, at this point, Mary didn't know what part she would play in the plan of the Lord. In fact, she didn't even know what his plan was all about. And so we're told in verse 29, she was greatly troubled at this statement of this angel, diataraso in Greek. She was agitated. She was unsettled in her mind. She was terrified. She was confused. And so it says she kept pondering these things. Dialogizomai. She kept rolling and turning these words over and over again in her mind, trying to figure out what kind of salutation, what kind of greeting this might be. Potapos in Greek. What was the meaning behind these words? And how would these words, how would this information that was being given to her affect her life? So, trying to comfort this frightened and confused young woman, the angel said to her, verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God," charis in Greek. You have been given a gift. You have been given his blessing. You have been given a gift unlike any gift that has ever been given to anyone. "Behold," he said to her, verse 31, idou in Greek. "Listen, listen carefully to my words. You will conceive a child in your womb." No, not someday, as you might have expected. That would happen, but you will conceive a child now. And so you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua in Hebrew, the one who will come into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. The one who will come to seek and to save sinners. A fulfillment of the promise that was given by God all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where he said that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. The seed would be victorious over the curse of sin, over the curse of Satan. And newsflash, the angel announces, the time has come for him to be made manifest on this earth. And he will be great, the angel says in verse 32. He will be glorious. He will be magnificent. But even beyond this, by his very nature, he will display the perfection of God himself. He will rule over nature. He will rule over Satan. He will rule over disease and death. And he will raise himself from the dead. He has the power to lay down his life and the power to take it up again, as Jesus himself said in John chapter 10, verse 18. And so, the angel continues, he will be called the Son of the Most High, El Elyon in Hebrew, Son of the Sovereign Ruler. who is the ruler over all things. And as we're told in Hebrews 1:3, this child Jesus would be the radiance, the blinding light, the manifestation of the glory of God, the exact representation of him, the imprint of his nature, of his character. There is no question who he is. He is God in the flesh. And he is perfect in every way, perfect in his life while he is here and was here on this earth, and he will be given as the perfect, sinless sacrifice for the sin of the people of this world. But his death is not the end of the story. His resurrection is not even the end of the story. Because the angel continues and he tells Mary this in verse 32. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, of his earthly ancestor, David the king. And he, this Jesus, will rule. He will reign over the house of Jacob, over Israel, and over all of mankind. How long? The angel says in verse 33, forever, forever, without end, as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he adds, his kingdom will have no end. And Mary, you are a part of this equation. Well, how would you react to this? I think, as we might expect, Mary was perhaps a little bit overwhelmed by all of this at this point. And in her confusion, she said to the angel in verse 34, How can this be? How can this entire process even begin to unfold, since I am a virgin? No man has ever touched me. I just don't understand. And so the angel answered her, said to her in verse 35, this will be a miracle. A miracle unlike any miracle that has ever taken place or will ever take place on this earth. And here is the miracle. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God himself, will come down upon you from heaven, and the power and the presence of the Most High will overshadow you. Episkiazo, his glory will surround you, the brightness of his glory, and the seed which will be miraculously implanted in you will come from heaven. And for this reason, the angel says, this holy child that will begin to grow and to develop within you shall be called the Son of God. God manifested in the flesh. And so, you might know that what I say will come to pass, so that your faith might be strengthened. Behold, he says, hear these words. Hear this announcement. Even your relative, Sun Engase, your kinswoman, Elizabeth, even she has conceived a son in her old age. And she who is past the point of bearing children, who has been called barren, who has been called stricken, by everyone. She has been vindicated. And she is now in the sixth month of her pregnancy. So go. Go and see. See for yourself. And as you consider these things, consider this, the angel says in verse 37. Nothing that has been spoken by the Lord, nothing that is part of His divine plan will be impossible for God to accomplish. The power of God knows no limits. He is not bound by the laws of nature, since He Himself has created those laws. As we are told in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, words that were written 700 years before Jesus was born. Behold, it says, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And what was the reaction of this young girl, Mary? What was her reaction to these incredible things that were about to take place in her life? Verse 38, she said, behold, look upon me. I am the bondslave, doulos, the willing servant of the Lord. I have no regard for my own interests. I have no regard for my own welfare. So whatever the consequences of this might be, whatever slander is spoken against me, I submit myself to the will of my God. Be it done to me according to your word. And then we're told the angel departed and went back to heaven. So, what about Mary? What do we really know about her? Well, we know this. Mary was a humble servant of the Lord. Newsflash. She is not the Queen of Heaven, as some people incorrectly believe. Newsflash. There is no Queen of Heaven, only the King of Kings. But we are told in Jeremiah chapter 7, there were some people who worshipped one that they called the Queen of Heaven, but read it. She was a pagan goddess. She was an idol. She was a demon. But like Mary, we worship God alone. And one lesson that we might be able to draw and learn from the life of this young woman is this. God will fulfill His promises to us. He is faithful in all that He says and does. And He will use people, people like you and people like me. If, like Mary, we will submit to Him, if we will submit our lives to Him, He will use us greatly if we will submit to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.